Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 215 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Glad to see all of you again. It's been a month. We're on our summer schedule. But nonetheless, we've got an action-packed episode for you today. We're going to have Wilson on for the entire thing because we've got a lot of stuff to go through. And one of those things is we received some dates for our historic appearance at the Supreme Court of Canada. Speaking of legal action, we have a new legal action that we are have already launched, already filed, that we're going to share with you. Again, this is unprecedented. This is the first time in history that something like this has happened. As well, the CCFR held a rally in Winnipeg about a week ago. Wilson was there, so she's got that story. Ex-member of Parliament, Inky Mark, has been accused of firearms trafficking and I think some other stuff. Did he actually do any of these things? I guess we'll find out. We've got all that and more. The CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR Podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. In Canada, firearm owners understand the importance of safe, effective self-defense options. That's why we're proud to have Byrna as a sponsor. Byrna's less lethal launchers are designed to help protect you and your family without taking a life. Byrna offers peace of mind and a practical layer of personal security for Canadians who value safety. Learn more at byrna.ca/CCFR. That's byrna.ca/CCFR. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a leader in tactical medical training for 20 years, providing military, law enforcement, and emergency services with life-saving skills. Through CTOMS Academy, they've made this proven, evidence-based training available online to a much wider audience. To celebrate their 20th anniversary, they're offering 30% off all courses with promo code CCFR30, perfect for outdoor enthusiasts, sports shooters, and anyone who wants to be prepared for emergencies. Visit ctomsacademy.com to start training. All right, we're back, and via the internet, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
Did you miss me? It's been like a month now.
I totally did.
I know you did. It's funny, actually, I just want to mention about the Wilson thing. When I was in Winnipeg, I said, my name's Tracy Wilson, and the whole place erupted. So it was funny. Wilson, Wilson. Huh? Yeah, it was cute.
It's become an actual thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah, right on. All right, we have a huge list. We even left a few things off. So let's start hammering through this thing because a lot of this stuff is really important. So,
yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Yeah, for sure. One of the most important things that we have going on is our journey to the Supreme Court, which has been a real marathon and that has cost us millions of dollars. But oddly enough, we have found ourselves at the Supreme Court of Canada. As I've said multiple times, no gun group has ever been an applicant at the Supreme Court of Canada in the history of Canada. So win or lose, it's, you know, we fought these people all the way to the highest court in the land. So that's kind of cool.
It is very cool. And we said we would not give up and we meant it. And here we are. So
yeah.
And that was also responsible for extending the amnesty, which is important.
Yeah. Well, we're going to go down the list of things that oddly enough has happened in the last 6-7 months for the CCFR. That is one of those things. But as far as the court is concerned, there's only really two updates that we have to give everyone. Number one is we have hearing dates, and those dates are November 9th and 10th. So November 9th and 10th, I will be heading to Ottawa and to attend the Supreme Court because my name is on that case as well. And I think I will meet you there, Ms. Wilson, and you'll be furiously live tweeting.
Yes. Thunder Thumbs Wilson is going to make a comeback here.
So, Thunder Thumbs, actually, is your new handle, right?
That's my new, it's on my business cards, Thunder Thumbs.
Thunder Thumbs, AKA Thunder Thumbs. And the other thing is the interveners. A lot of people are intervening on this case. And only one group is intervening against us. The rest are actually supporting us.
Yeah, like there's 12 interveners, a dozen interveners so far. Now that window is closed, so anybody else, it's too late. But it's basically 11 versus one. Only the Coalition for Gun Control is coming against us. But I do want to give a special shout out. You can find the whole list of interveners on the Supreme Court of Canada website under our docket. But I want to give a shout out to IPSC Canada and Safari Club International Canada, because I think it's really, really important that both those groups are there. And yes, I'm very happy to see them join the fight. So it's fantastic.
That is great. And the other thing too, just to let people know, there seems to be a lot of misunderstanding about what an intervener is. Basically, if you want to get involved in a court case, as I said, for the CCFR to get to the Supreme Court, it was over $3 million and it was over six years of, yes. of battling these people. And of course, everyone that shows up at the Supreme Court has lost at the lower courts and still continue to push on. And it's been a real marathon. So for for some folks, if they want to, you know, involve themselves in a Supreme Court proceeding, it's pretty easy and pretty inexpensive. If that's when you're getting into the fight, it's almost like, you know, you run a 20 kilometer marathon, and at 18 and a half kilometers, boom, out of the crowd comes a guy with a number on his chest like everybody else. He's like, you know, for that last 1.5 kilometers. And then they throw their arms up if they if you win, right? So we've seen a lot of people intervene at the last minute at the Supreme Court and then, of course, claim a win. Now, understand, I'm not complaining, because sometimes interveners can bring different arguments that you aren't allowed to bring because you're limited in the scope of what your application is. So that can be quite handy. So I'm actually very grateful for everyone that's intervening. But but right now, at this point, the intervention application, the intervener's application, I should say, process is what's happening now. So I don't know, whatever, $3,000-$4,000 or whatever it costs to throw an application in there. Their arguments is the more expensive, probably, I don't know, $30,000 part of it. That's that is to come. And none of these people or the provinces, well, provinces are automatically granted leave, but individuals and organizations, they have to be granted leave. So the court makes a ruling on that stuff. So we don't know if we're going to be there with these other 9 or 10 interveners, or whether there's going to only be like 3 there. You know, we don't know, but that's where we are in that whole process.
Yeah. It's my understanding too, that unlike the lower courts, that the Supreme Court is a little more lenient on who they let in and why. So, because normally you have to bring something new and a totally unique perspective. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's very dramatic, very exciting. And here we go. This is what we said we were doing and we did it.
Yeah. Well, I'd really like to win. That would be nice.
Yeah, we need to win.
Now, hopefully everyone, we're moving on to the next thing, which is our class action lawsuit against the federal government on behalf of the group called the Affected Residents of Saskatchewan. If you haven't seen that video, really important video to watch. I think there's over 40,000 views of it in the last 6 days, which is about 6 days ago I put that up. And make sure that you see it, because while it's representing the affected residents of Saskatchewan, there it has an effect on every gun owner in Canada, because it is putting more pressure on the federal government to actually withdraw that OIC, because they're seeing how much money it's going to cost them and the legal battle that they're going to be up against. Because if we get certified as a class action in Saskatchewan and another province or territory brings us legislation, which there are a few considering it as we speak, we will be there to represent another class action, represent another class. So the affected residents of Alberta or Yukon or Manitoba or Ontario, whoever comes along. So this could be a really big deal. This could cost the federal government $10, $12 billion by the time it's done, which is what, as I said in that video, is what this should have cost in the first place, but we're going to hold them to it. So anyway, you and I talked before we started recording this. If you look at what the CCFR has done in the last 6 months, we've launched a class action lawsuit, never been done by a gun group before. We are showing up at the Supreme Court of Canada. Mm-hmm. Our actions forced, and there's others, right? There's other applicants other than us. I like to, a lot of times I forget to say it, but there are a couple of other groups alongside us at the Supreme Court. We're the only gun group, obviously, but landowners group and some individuals and whatever. We extended, got the amnesty extended because of the class, because of the Supreme Court case, which the liberals swore they would never do. We've held rallies across the country against the buyback and the liberals' approach to it, which is horrible. And what else have I got here? Oh,
we did the Gunny Girl documentary.
Gunny Girls documentary, like all this stuff in the last 6-7 months.
Yeah.
And I'm not done with the announcements. I still have a little bit more to come. So pretty wild, you know?
Well, this is like, I don't know, what else would we be doing? I don't think just sitting back and seeing what happens and waiting around for a friendly government, like we don't have that luxury. We've never operated like that. So for me, this is what we said we would do. We would work hard. Our members expected of us. We promised it and we're delivering. So we're just going to keep going. Like I always say, do all the things all the way, all the time. And that's exactly what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Somebody's got to do it. All right. Yeah. Let's move on. So despite the gun bans and the new legislation, you know, C-21, C-71, all these new regulations, all the rhetoric, big shooting spree in Toronto gunfire mayhem over the last weekend, I believe, right?
Yeah. So not the weekend that just passed, but the one before, there was actually 17 people shot in Toronto in 14 different shootings. So this was crazy. There, of course, the more high profile one was the festival shooting. There was that shooting at the Salsa on St. Clair Festival. 2 people were killed. 4 people were injured. There was another shooting on the waterfront. And this guy who committed it was one of 3 men from Montreal who broke into a person's home, beat them, tortured them. Of course, soft on crime things, you know, he's back out on the street. And here he is shooting up Toronto. But there was a variety of other violent incidents in Toronto over that same weekend. And it was just, you know, like you could barely keep up with the news. It was just shooting after shooting after shooting after shooting. Every single one of them involving illicit, illegal guns or smuggled guns or both. Gang violence, targeted shootings, has nothing to do with our community. And then you turn on Twitter on last Monday, and what's Polly screeching about? The SKS. Like, need more bans on legal gun owners. And it's just, it was like a perfect metaphor for exactly what's gone on here with all these gun bans and gun bills and all this stuff the government's doing. And they're cheering it on and pushing it forward. And it's done absolutely nothing for public safety. Canada, in particular, Toronto's never been more violent. And they're like, you know, okay, we need more gun bans. Wendy Sukier even did an interview and said that, you know, people shouldn't be too alarmed about these shootings. Like, don't worry about it. So I don't know, man, talk about mixed messaging.
Yeah, it's really bad. And I'm actually going to jump ahead because I think this is a better segue than what we had written down, a better order is, you know, after everything, as I said before, after everything, you know, Canada's more violent than ever and more dangerous than ever. You can't even go to a festival or whatever without people getting into a gunfight right there, despite these multi-billion, tens of billions of dollars worth of liability the government has exposed itself to, right? From class action lawsuits from the CCFR or the Supreme Court stuff. You know, this destroying the relationship between licensed gun owners, you know, the criminal background check every day people and the government, all this stuff that they've squandered. And it hasn't done a thing. It hasn't done anything. Canada's more dangerous than ever. And then in desperation, I'm not telling you that this is connected, but the CBC comes out now of all times for some reason and are like, oh, domestic violence with firearms is up. And they do this whole story. I read it, right? I don't read all their stuff, that's for sure. But I'm like, I need to read that. And they did a whole video feature of it. I believe it might have been even on the National about domestic violence and guns. And the reason they do that is so they're like, oh man, we got to drag licensed gun owners in here somewhere because even the most intellectually incapacitated in the country are going and they're looking, they're like, this is, you know, this is obviously not, you know, gun club people. In fact, they're probably get panicky because all of these police chiefs going, this is not licensed gun owners. This has nothing to do with them. In fact, Myron Demkew, the chief of police for Toronto, came out and jumped in front of the of a press conference to answer a question like that from a journalist and said, this is not licensed gun owners. These are all guns coming from the United States and committed by the criminal element.
Heard that we're bystanders.
Mayor Tosh, you keep on mentioning illegal guns in the United States. What evidence do you have that this shooting or any of the shootings that happened this weekend involved illegal guns?
Well, the people, I'll take that question. In this city, we recover crime guns regularly, and the vast majority, 85 to 90% of them, when they can be traced, are traced to the United States of America. This city has a handgun crime problem. These are not licensed gun owners. We are not arresting people with firearms who are licensed gun owners. That is not happening in this city in any meaningful way. The people we arrest with firearms quite routinely, our officers interdict people with illegal guns, are criminals. They are criminals without firearms licenses, and the guns they have are illegal. The vast majority sourced to the United States of America. That's been the trend for many, many years in this city.
And then when I say something like these people don't really care about domestic violence and they don't care about violence in the streets of in Canadian streets, this is why. If they really cared about what was going on in Toronto, they would stop it.
Yeah, they would.
They grab these people just like they did with the convoy organizers. There was no violence there, but somehow they were able to hold them in jail. Somehow they had, the government had the resources to drag them around for 5 years, but they can't do it to a guy that is guilty of torturing people. And you know what I mean? Like they just don't want to do it.
Yeah. They don't want to.
Yeah. So that's why I say those things. It's not like I'm always picking on the government. It's like, man, if you guys really cared, you would have done something about it. Okay. Tell us about the Winnipeg rally.
Yeah. The Winnipeg rally was wild. Okay. First of all, it was like 46 degrees with the humidex. It was insanely hot. So I actually came into Winnipeg on the Sunday. The rally was on a Monday. That weekend, I had been out at Wolverine Supplies at a range event, had a great time. Also 46 degrees there. So I arrived Sunday and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go down to City Hall and check it out. You know, I don't live there. So I wanted to go and see where we were hosting this event. I'd only looked on Google Maps. And so I parked the car, the rental car, and I walk a couple blocks to City Hall. And it was like, I don't know, man. I was like, where am I right now? It felt like I was on a different planet entirely. And I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of people struggling or having a hard time, but it was like zombies everywhere. I was the only normal person walking around. Anyways, I went down there and made a video, but the homeless people, the open drug use, the garbage, the needles everywhere, like it was shocking. And then I get to where the little square is in front of City Hall, and the gardens there were gorgeous. Like I'm a gardener, as you know. The tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars spent in these beautiful gardens was like, I don't know, it was just like this weird metaphor going on, you know, where you've got all these people struggling out in the street. There was like literal naked people on the sidewalk, you know, not moving. And yet these beautiful gardens. Monday, however, they had that cleaned up. And the locals tell me that's how it goes, is in the morning, you know, they kind of pick everybody up and clean up the garbage and the needles. And, you know, the afternoon, everything looks pretty good. And the next day they have to do it all again. But the rally was fantastic. We had probably about 200 people that came out. We had to use the side yard that had some trees for shade. Conservative MPs Raquel Doncho, the former shadow minister for public safety, Ted Falk and Colin Reynolds all came and joined us. And that was fantastic. That's a good showing for a smaller jurisdiction like that. But huge thank you to everybody that stuck it out in the heat with me. We even had one go down and had to call an ambulance. It was blisteringly hot. But yeah, and a special shout out to Derek Gowland and Sean, the tenant branch from Ontario, who flew all the way out there on their own dime and helped me with this stuff, and they're pros at it now. It was awesome. I really needed the help, and I got it. So thank you to them.
Yeah, we've got some great people in our organization. As I said, I don't know how many times, a lot of the stuff, like a big portion of all of the things that we're able to do would never happen without our volunteers.
Yeah.
So 100%. Some very dedicated people, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. So now the last thing is a former conservative MP, now a member of the Green Party of Canada. That never got mentioned, but certainly the Conservative Party did. Inky Mark. Got raided. His house got raided and his entire firearm collection. He had a lot of old war relics and whatnot, all legal at the time, of course, got raided, and he's charged with firearm offenses. So the leftists wasted no time saying, hey, he was a conservative MP, so this should reflect on all licensed gun owners and the Conservative Party of Canada.
You're all to blame.
Yeah, exactly. Just these people, man. Yeah. But it turns out that despite the fact that the Crown wanted to, or the police, depends who in the province who does it, because it's different in different provinces, charged Inky Mark with a bunch of firearm offenses. And of course, you look in a little bit deeper and the story changed a little bit.
Yeah, well, he was, one of the offenses was trafficking. And I was like, what the heck? I mean, when I heard this story, I know Inky Mark, you know, I've spoken to him on many occasions. He's an older guy, 78 now, retired. But yeah, he's been collecting guns for like 55 years, right? Extensive collection, lots of cool stuff. And when I heard trafficking, I was like, what? You know, I think it conjures up visions of, you know, taking, you know, trunk loads of guns and putting them out onto the black market. Like, that's where your mind goes. Oh no, it was actually very different. So you'll remember back with C-71, there was a measure within that bill that required you to do a license verification, not just look at the, you know, if I was selling you a shotgun, the old way for like 30 years was I would just look at your pal, be like, yep, you're good. And I'd sell you the gun. Now you have to verify it with the RCMP firearms program. Now it's not super difficult to do. I do them online. You can also call in. But it's apparently not well known that this measure has been implemented. So he had three guns that he did not do the license verification for the transfer of these three firearms. And unfortunately, with the new laws, C-71 and C-21, it's like there's no leniency there. It's simply trafficking. So this is incredibly bad because this is literally a perfect example of a paperwork offense. Now, there was some commentary by firearms lawyer Ian Runkle on Twitter. And for the sake of people on Facebook, I copy and pasted his commentary about this and gave him credit and put it on Facebook so the people on Facebook could see it. And that post on my Facebook is literally full of comments of people being like, what are you talking about? What do you mean license verification? What do you mean you need a transfer number? Like, it's a little bit shocking the amount of people that didn't know that. So this is the problem. When you make these kind of drastic changes to a system that existed for decades and worked fine, there was no signal that there was a problem with it, and you change it, and it's a small thing. Yeah, it's not difficult to do. I've done a bunch of them, and it's not hard. But the problem is people don't even know it's required. So a lot of these comments on my Facebook post were from elderly gentlemen who don't even know that that's a requirement. So that, you know, to me, that it actually breaks my heart, because the last thing I want to see is these old senior citizens getting themselves in legal trouble and being charged with trafficking because they didn't even know about this new requirement for license verification. So yeah, really, really bad situation. I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he, Inky Mark, in an interview with media, said he was, you know, so sorry. He's sorry up and down. Like, this is a simple error. But I don't know that it appears. I hope there's a way to lessen the charges for him. But yeah, it looks like it's going to cost him his entire collection. It's just.
Yeah, and more, and his PAL.
I can't imagine.
And yeah, the problem is, if you've got handguns or prohibs or whatever, your PAL gets revoked. or suspended, like you lose all those, you get no money and they take all of them and you'll never get them back.
Yes.
They destroy them or steal them or whatever, right? But they're gone from you. And
anyways,
I
think it, at some point I'm probably just going to do a quick and easy little video on how to do this license verification, and I'll put that out there. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important. I know these steps suck, but it's very, very vital that you do them. So
Example. And so, yeah, a lot of people don't know that, but when we talk about how stringent this is, meaning like I can't lend my daughter a shotgun to go out to go camping, you know, with her boyfriend, unless I do a literal check on her checker license. And if I did that and didn't check her license, I've literally tracked trafficked firearms.
And yes, traffic.
Again, right? Everyone could be licensed, valid licenses, everything, right? And I could be facing a trafficking charge. Whereas you have criminals running around, literally discharging handguns in crowds of people at festivals. And that person rarely actually gets convicted of those things. And of course, they're out on bail the whole time. Again, if they wanted to stop all this stuff, they absolutely could do all these things, but they won't.
Sure they could. And I mean, like, look, if Inky Mark had been actually trafficking firearms, I'd be the first one to say, we'll throw the book at him.
100%.
It is what it is, you know? But to find out that it appears that it was a simple, you know, bureaucratic paperwork mistake on a newly changed thing that people don't know about. And now I have solid proof that a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
And I've heard that before over the last year or so, where people are telling me, you know, you see posts on Facebook, hey, I bought a gun and I got a message in my inbox at the Canadian Firearms Program. What's that about? Well, that's the proof of license verification. Well, what's that? Like this, when you've got millions of Canadians with gun licenses and you make such a drastic change that you may think is just a small little, you know, alteration to the way things are, it's not a small alteration when it has life-changing consequences. Being charged with trafficking is going to ruin your life. So what's going to happen here is bad.
Yeah. And I mean, they could have avoided all this by saying, okay, we're going to make license verification a requirement, but it's a regulatory offense, not a criminal offense. So if both people have valid PALs, and you didn't do this one step or whatever, yeah, you get a, you know, $150, $500 fine.
Yeah, and then you won't do that again. You won't make that same
mistake. You're not going to jail or getting a criminal record or going through 4 years of the court system while you're out on bail for 4 years waiting for your turn at the, you know, to stand in front of the judge in criminal court with the people that are taking hostages and trafficking, you know, human beings and shooting up festivals, right?
Yeah. And you're 78 years old.
This stuff's not hard, man. All right. This is not difficult
now
stuff.
I'm all fired up.
All right. okay. Here's something very important. Field Officer of the Month. And I didn't write down the month, but I think it's for June 2026 is our great friend and massive supporter, Colleen Porter. So
yes, I love Colleen. She's so awesome. I'm telling you, this girl is just a total CCFR diehard. She's been out there killing it at shows. I just love her so much. So thank you, Colleen, for everything you do.
Absolutely. Colleen was our field officer coordinator for a little while, and she did a really great job and still stayed on as a volunteer. So if Colleen doesn't know, she would know. But just in case she's forgotten, what you get for being field officer of the month is you get a year's free subscription from Canadian Access to Firearms. Donovan Dewis donates that every month. So thank you, Donovan. You get a $100 promo code for the CCFR's online store. Everyone knows how much Ms. Wilson loves her promo codes. And also new to the party is Josh over at Dirty Leather provides a custom leather belt, handmade custom leather belt for all of our field officers of the month. So pretty awesome.
Yes. Thank you, Josh.
Josh, for that. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Next thing. So we're almost done. we had a big list of stuff to go through.
We did.
Sean over and the team over at Kailani Outdoors wanted to help us incentivize people to either become members of the CCFR, renew their membership, or make donations of $20 or more to the CCFR to help us out with our class action lawsuit and our march to the Supreme Court of Canada by creating a little bit of a contest. The gang over at Kailani Outdoors created two custom-wrapped CCFR coolers and some tumblers and a hat and whatnot, a prize pack worth over $1,000. So I just want to say thank you to Sean and everyone over at Kailani for doing that. All of you, if you've done any of those three things that I had mentioned, become a member, renew your membership, or donate $20 or more to the CCFR, you're automatically entered. You can refuse the prize if you want, but you're automatically entered. And and this promotion ends on August the 16th at 11:59, I believe, something like that. So,
and those coolers, by the way, are like top shelf coolers.
Yeah,
I've got one, and it's just, I think I left it outside for like 5 or 6 days and it was still had ice in it. Just amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah. Really, really nice stuff. High quality stuff. So anyway, that's automatic. So that's happening until August 16th. And the last thing that we wanted to, second last, we wanted to mention is that whenever I made a video, right, for this class action thing, and it explains, I would encourage you to watch that video. It was up, whatever, 7-8 days ago. And in the comments, you've got people saying what I think is reasonable, like, oh, thanks for doing this. This is great. We got to keep on fighting or whatever. But there's always people that are like, you know, you're going to get nowhere in the courts and it's all corrupt and whatever. And honestly, it's like, yeah, I believe that there's some of that. But here's the thing. Just because you can't be guaranteed a win either at the courts or the arena of public opinion or doing things to influence it, just because you're not handed and guaranteed a win, it doesn't mean that you don't do these things, man. It doesn't give you an excuse to stop fighting and to just sit back and let these people roll right over you. So, you know, I've mentioned this kind of stuff before, but the CCFR was created to fight. And we fight, and we need you to fight along with us, whether you're writing letters to your MP or you're participating, if you're in Saskatchewan, participating in a certified class action later, or becoming a member for what, $40 a year, or donating $20, whatever. We do the majority of the fighting, obviously, on your behalf. All you need to do is support us or get in the fight yourself or volunteer, whatever. If you're not guaranteed a win, and you're beat up because of all this, that is not an excuse to just give up and try to get other people to give up too.
No, exactly. I won't listen to any of that negativity. And to me, like, you know, there is no end. There is no, there's no stopping, because if we were just sitting back and just, you know, waiting for somebody else to do stuff or, you know, biding time, like what would we be doing? Just posting news stories, like, nobody needs that. They need somebody who's going to get in there, get dirty and fight. And that's us.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. All right. Last thing I wanted to say, because I'm not going to do an outro, but last thing I want to say is the next podcast, because we're on the summer schedule, next podcast is on or about August 20th. So you and I don't have to do the podcast or the TV show for another few weeks, which is great. I cherish this little rest, but that's when you're going to see the next one.
Okay, perfect. Yes, I will be there.
Yeah, I hope so, because they're actually quite arduous to do by myself.
Yeah, it would be boring.
Awesome. All right. Okay. Well, we covered everything, and I think it was only like, I don't know, 33 minutes or something like that. Not bad.
Not bad. Let's give the good people some of their summer time back then, right?
Yeah,
not awesome. Spending all day watching.
All right, good work, Ms. Wilson. Thanks for the update, and we'll see you in the next one.
All right, we'll see you then.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.